it must have been a slightly awkward moment. Overnight, European leaders gathered in Paris to progress talks on a peace deal for Ukraine. Seated at the table was Denmark's Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, and across the table from her, US envoys Steve Witkoff and Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. The gathering took place following renewed and emphatic statements by the US president that he's intent on taking control of Greenland, a semi-autonomous territory of Denmark.
We need Greenland from a national security situation. It's so strategic. Right now, Greenland is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security, and Denmark is not going to be able to do it.
European leaders have rallied behind Denmark and Greenland, issued a statement saying Greenland is part of NATO. Security in the Arctic must therefore be achieved collectively in conjunction with NATO allies, including the United States. And Prime Minister Frederiksen had an even starker warning, suggesting that any US attempt to take control of Greenland would effectively spell the end of NATO. Jamie Shea is a former NATO official, now a professor of strategy and security at the University of Exeter. I spoke to him earlier.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Is Mette Frederiksen exaggerating when she says a US takeover of Greenland would bring about the end of NATO?
Well, whether it would be the actual end of the alliance, of course, we don't know. But it would certainly hollow out NATO and make it into a far less cohesive and effective alliance than it's been, because it would be an instance of one NATO ally attacking the territory of another NATO ally, when the whole purpose of NATO, of course, is solidarity of allies against external threats like Russia. So it would certainly create probably NATO's biggest crisis in history. And whether it would lead to the immediate collapse of NATO, I'm not sure, but it would certainly push the Europeans much faster down the road where they're going already, which is to try to spend more on their own defence, invest more in their own defence capabilities and weapons, and try to reduce their dependency on the United States.
Do you think that's part of the tactic from Donald Trump in making these threats?
No, I don't, because to some degree, Trump has already succeeded in that venture when at the NATO summit in The Hague last July, he persuaded the allies to increase their defense budgets from 2% of GDP to 5% of GDP, which is a massive hike. So this notion of the Europeans stepping up and the US doing less has been around NATO for some time already. And I don't think the Greenland thing is really connected to that at all. It strikes me that Trump wants Greenland because he wants to enlarge the United States, the US sphere of influence. And he obviously talks about it more in economic terms, in terms of getting a grip on some of Greenland's precious metals and oil and gas reserves, similar to what he said in Venezuela about the US taking over control of Venezuela's oil industry.
Do you think this is part of his new national security vision, where Greenland is essentially part of what he is now calling America's hemisphere, our hemisphere?
Yes, very, very much so. I think that's part of it. And of course, Trump has been speaking about Greenland, not in isolation, but in connection with pressure on Colombia, recently pressure on Argentina to elect, in inverted commas, the right president, i.e. the pro-Trump candidate, pressures on Mexico, Colombia, Panama, a large number of other countries in the hemisphere as well. But Trump also seems to sort of believe that Greenland is in danger of falling under the influence of Russia or China because they have a few more ships in the Arctic these days than they did in the past, and that somehow Greenland is sort of vulnerable and undefended. This is simply not true. Greenland is part of NATO's integrated defense system. The Europeans send military forces there from time to time. The US already has a military base on Greenland. And so the idea that somehow NATO and Europe are neglecting Greenland's defense and therefore the United States has to step in strikes me as a little bit overblown, quite frankly.
Nevertheless, it would certainly send a strong signal to Russia, to China, were there to be some kind of enhanced US presence there.
Well, we have to remember that the US had a lot more troops and forces in Greenland during the Cold War than today. It used to have, in the Cold War years, 17 bases and facilities, and it was not at the request of Denmark that the US closed those bases or withdrew its forces. It was because Washington decided the situation in Greenland didn't really merit more than an American sort of strategic radar post and a few troops. And the Danes and NATO have never been opposed to the United States putting more forces in Greenland. This is provided for already under a bilateral security agreement, defence agreement between Copenhagen and Washington. And the Europeans and NATO have said, look, you know, Mr. Trump, if there really is a vacuum in the high north vis-a-vis Russia and China, you know, let's work on it together. Let the Europeans participate in that. So, in other words, what Trump is proposing is a solution for which there really isn't a problem. It's integrated into NATO, and Trump doesn't have to send military forces to occupy the territory in order to increase its defence and Western defence in the North Atlantic.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm speaking with Jamie Shea, a former NATO official, now a professor of strategy and security at the University of Exeter in the UK. Jamie Shea, though, the fact that Mette Frederiksen is now talking about a threat to the very fabric of NATO would suggest, would it not, that she is increasingly worried about the rhetoric from Donald Trump?
Well, yes, obviously, because it's never comfortable for one head of state to be on the receiving end of all of this hostile rhetoric from another head of state when you're meant to be allies. And it's particularly grueling for a country like Denmark, which has always been a very loyal, particularly loyal ally to the United States in NATO. As I said, giving the US the basing facilities in Greenland. Denmark is choosing. Has been purchasing a lot of US military equipment recently as it increases its defense budget. The Danes recently signed an agreement with the American Air Force so that the American Air Force can also have more access to bases in Denmark. So when you think that you're doing everything you possibly can to show you're a loyal ally and to please Washington, it's particularly obviously grueling and egregious that you then have all of these pressures to take over a part of your sovereign territory. And the Danes also have been very constructive, as I said a moment ago, in making these counteroffers. They're not opposed to American companies investing more in oil and gas or raw minerals extraction. They're not opposed to the United States putting more forces there. So the Danes really feel as if they're bent over backwards to meet some of the issues that Trump has highlighted within the parameters of Danish sovereignty of Greenland and NATO and the existing arrangements. So they really fail to understand why Trump then, you know, keeps coming back with this idea that there's a problem and that the only solution to that problem is some kind of incorporation or annexation of Greenland by the United States.
Are the Danes also worried that this talk could fuel independence sentiment within Greenland?
That exists already and has existed for many decades.
Could it add to the push for independence?
Well, not yes and no, in the sense that there is already an independence party in Greenland and there's a lot of talk of among the 57,000 Greenlanders of becoming independent, and Denmark has not ruled that out as part of a due constitutional process. But the polling in Greenland, and there's been quite a lot of public opinion polling over the last year since Trump returned to the White House, demonstrates that overwhelmingly the Greenlanders who want independence want independence, i.e. not annexation by the United States. They really don't want to be self-governing. And so there is as much pushback against the idea of US annexation from the independence of political leaders in Greenland as from those who are more willing to accept the traditional links to Copenhagen. So, if the United States is pushing for Greenland to become independent, that doesn't mean that the Greenland will then turn automatically to the United States. They'll want to have relations with Canada. They'll want to have relations with the Europeans. They used to be part of the EU, and they still receive a number of benefits from the EU single market and grants and aid programs. And I expect that, like most independent countries, they'd want to have relations with a large number of countries serving their national interests and not, you know, exchange, if you like, one form of colonialism in an extreme perspective for another form of colonialism.
Certainly all makes for interesting conversations, I'm sure, on the sidelines of the Ukraine meeting in Paris. Jamie Shea, thank you so much for joining us.
Again, thank you very much for having me.